Well, beloved, today is our last Sunday of the month and the last Sunday for the year 2022. And what a year it has been for all of us. And I would say for those of you that may be listening right now, I imagine it was quite a year for you as well. A lot of trials, a lot of tribulations, maybe for many of us a few victories along the way, for some of us maybe a few setbacks, but in the final analysis, God has been extremely good to his people, more than what we truly deserve. Well, today we're going to wrap up the 2022 Nativity series, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled Our Souls. I, the Lord God Almighty, chose to condescend and to enter into your sick, sinful, sin-beaten, sin-infested world, to tackle the issue of that sin and to fill the hearts of many, not only with my truth, not only with my presence, but to fill you with glory, so that in turn you would worship and praise the Almighty according to spirit and in truth. Turn with me this morning to the book of Numbers, chapter 12. The book of Numbers, chapter 12. We here at Trinity believe that all of the Bible is to be preached, Old Testament and New Testament. We do not simply limit ourselves to the New Testament at the expense of the Old. We don't take that position in this congregation, at least as pastor. We believe in all of the Scripture was divinely inspired by God Almighty. And all of that Scripture is to be preached, taught, received, and upheld. Now, there are others who will say to the contrary, but we're not going to have them throw a wet blanket on our use of Genesis to Revelation. Numbers chapter 12. Listen as I read. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he, Moses, had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? So here's Moses' brother and sister having a conniption fit over Moses' marrying of this Ethiopian woman. And notice, the first thing that they do with this controversy, they don't address the marriage as much as what? They're addressing his authority. Did you pick that up? Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Notice in that first part of verse 2, they're not bringing an accusation to him verbally about his marriage, are they? They used the marriage as a pretense to address something that was underlining their grievance with their pastor, in this sense. Are you the only one that God speaks through? Are you the only one that God has chosen? Has he not chosen Aaron? Has he not chosen Miriam? Miriam, I believe, was the one that led forth in that great victory song when after crossing the Red Sea. Don't I have a part of this ministry? Miriam and Aaron were saying, God only speaks to our brother. And the Lord heard it. So bear in mind, beloved, that when we go off the rails and we chatter about someone, okay, falsely, but we use a certain pretense to justify our false accusations, God happens to be in the audience as well. And the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses, and unto Aaron, and unto Miriam, come out ye three unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. So apparently they were in the tabernacle And if you want to use kind of like a modern day, you know, similarity, they were in the meeting place. They were in the church. And here, Aaron and Miriam are having an issue with Moses' marriage, but that's not really the issue that was really clawing at them. It was his authority. Has God only spoken through and by you? Ready? Look at verse 5. And the Lord came down in a pillar of the cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. Wow. So God calls them out of the tabernacle, and the glory cloud apparently appears in front of the little tabernacle building. Okay, so God now is between, standing basically in front of Moses' adversaries, and he's going to tackle the issue. And said, "Hear now my words." Now get that, verse 6. This is the Creator. This is the Almighty. This is the great I Am. This is the one who spoke everything into existence. So I want you to be good hearers right now. Not good seers, but good hearers. In our culture, we're so glued to our cell phones that we have lost the ability to hear and pay attention. This is the Almighty. This is the one that cast out demons and devils. This is the one that spoke to the raging waves and the roaring wind on the Sea of Galilee, and they immediately obeyed him. This is the one, okay, that spoke, "Lazarus, come forth," and he who was dead now 4 days, and probably who was now putrefying in his tomb, walked out. This is the same one who, when he was apprehended in the garden, when they said, "We're looking for Jesus," he said, "Here am I," and they fell to the ground. This is the same one. And what does he say? "Hear now my words." Can you imagine the impact of that? It's almost as if we were a fly on the wall of the tabernacle, you would almost wonder whether or not, when God said, "I want you to pay attention," whether or not the ground slightly took a little shake. Whether all the molecules in the air trembled. And if there was one or two demons in the local area who were probably instigating this brother and sister team, this little duo, whether or not they scattered. I want you to hear what I have to say. "If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream." That was a rebuke. That was a slap across this brother and sister tag team against their brother, Moses. Okay? God didn't choose Miriam to lead the people. God didn't choose Aaron to be the leader of the people, to be the lawgiver. Now granted, he was Moses' spokesman, because Moses apparently had some type of speech impediment that was a distraction for him. But the leader of this caravan of people was Moses. And God here is telling this brother and sister tag team, okay, if there be a prophet among you, and Moses was a prophet, "I'll make myself known to him and him alone, whether by vision or by dream." You know what God is telling this brother and sister team? "It's my business whom I appoint to my business." In essence, God was telling this brother and sister tag team to mind their business. But you got to admit, in that verse 5, the Lord came down and manifested his presence in the pillar of the cloud. Verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. Now notice, Moses, God says, Moses is faithful in all my house. Hold your place here and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Heaven came down and put a period to this brother and sister tag team of gainsaying. So, what, as you notice, in the past couple of weeks, we're looking at different instances where heaven did come down. Now, the main thrust of the Nativity is to point out the fact that heaven did come down in the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven did come down and touch the womb of Mary. The power of the highest overshadowed her, and there was a conception performed in her womb. And that Holy One that was going to be born would be called what? The Son of God. But I'm also showing you, as an extension of this Nativity series, of other instances where God came down. But it says once again, and I'll read it without you looking at it, in Numbers 12, Moses, who was faithful in all my house. Notice here, it's his tabernacle. It is his house. It is the place where he would manifest his presence in that cloudy pillar. All right, with that in mind, look at Hebrews chapter 3, verse 3. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that builded all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Whoa. Where did the writer of Hebrews come up with the concept that Moses was faithful in his house? Right here, Numbers chapter 12. So here's a good example why the Old Testament is still relevant, and the Old Testament is important for New Testament saints to use. With the help and the light of the Old Testament, and then you put the light, the beaming light, and the full light of the New Testament together, you get a rounded interpretation. You get a proper understanding of what the Bible says. Isn't that amazing? Go back now to Numbers. My servant Moses is not so, who was faithful in all my house. With him will I speak, notice, mouth to mouth. Now look at that verse 8, part A. That is a beautiful biblical definition of what inspiration is. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration. Well, what is inspiration? It is the very breath of the Almighty coming upon holy and faithful men as they spoke and as they inevitably wrote the Word of God. What does God say? With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches, and in the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Whereof then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Notice the rebuke. What does he tell this brother and sister tag team? You were not even afraid of your gainsaying. You usurpers. You did not even tremble in your accusations against the one whom I have called, the prophet whom I've chosen, the one whom I speak mouth to mouth. God didn't speak to Aaron nor to Miriam mouth to mouth, but he did so with Moses. But again, look at that verse 5. In this controversy, it says, the Lord came down. God got angry. on this one occasion here, as it's recorded. Verse 9, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron spake unto Moses, alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not this sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. You know something? Since the leprosy came on the sister and not on Aaron, more than likely the sister was the agitator. Maybe Miriam felt a little bit, you know, upset that another woman was coming into the family tree. She didn't like the concept of her brother marrying this Ethiopian woman. Notice the leprosy fell on her, not on Aaron. So she must have been the ringleader. And there's always going to be a ringleader when it comes to muddling the waters within a church family. There's always going to be that Korah. There's always going to be that Miriam who just doesn't like the way things are going. They just don't like the one who's in charge per se. And they're going to make themselves known, like here. And then notice, Aaron is the one who becomes the, what, mediator. I beseech thee. Notice, he calls Moses, my Lord. Look at that verse 11. Alas, my Lord, when he was part of this gainsaying against his own brother. What was their accusation back in verse 2? Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Aaron was sucked in to this plot on the part of his own sister. Again, she got leprous, not Aaron. Now Aaron is the one now playing the violin. Alas, my Lord. Aaron changed his tune quick, didn't he? I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. Look at verse 5. The Lord came down. And then in this instance, glory was not the issue of filling anyone's soul. What was the issue? Correction. Rebuke. Mind your own business on whom I choose to be my spokesman. And by the way, I speak to your brother mouth to mouth. Okay? Let her not be as one dead. Look at verse 12. I think the internal evidence suggests that Miriam was the one who instigated this riot within the family. And since she's a woman and Moses was marrying another woman, maybe Miriam assumed she was going to be put on the shelf. She wasn't going to have too much say-so in Moses' ministry. She had to take a back seat to this new woman, this new wife. She didn't like that. But notice in all of this reading, show me where Aaron and Miriam bring up the issue of marriage. It ain't there. But they used it as a facade to something that was much deeper with the brother and sister duo team. They couldn't stand Moses and his authority. And here's an instance where God was forced, in a manner of speaking, to come down to earth to settle the issue of who was in charge at the time. Let her not be as one dead of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb. She must have looked pitiful. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, heal her now, O God, I beseech thee. And the Lord said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days. Notice, the entire camp didn't go in lockdown, and they didn't shut down the entire camp. Notice that. So much for COVID-19. Stupidity a couple of years ago. Notice in this instance, not the whole camp was locked down. Moses wasn't put in quarantine. They weren't out there wearing rags on their face. Notice, she was the one to be put out and shut up for 7 days. And after 7 days, she could return. And notice, Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pinched in the wilderness of Paran. Heaven came down. And in this instance, there wasn't too much glory. But when heaven came down, men took notice, and men had to react. Notice, God came down and said, "Hear now my words." Not my opinion, not a suggestion. God didn't offer a multiple choice, A, B, C, or D. He put a period to their comma in this instance. When you read your Bible carefully, you will find many times where the concept of God coming down to earth constantly being repeated. Remember last week or so, Genesis chapter 11, verse 7? "Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech." What I'd like you to do, beloved, is put away the cell phone in your mind. Put away the television out of your mind. Put away the electronic billboards that flash advertisements. I want you now to be someone that was living in an Eastern culture and was more attuned to listening to words than looking at sound bites. Exodus 19:11. "Let them be ready for the third day," God instructing Moses to instruct the nation. "For on the third day the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." So the Lord comes down at the Tower of Babel, puts a period to their comma, if you will, stops the work, changes their languages, and forces them to scatter to the four winds, whereby all the nations of the world eventually developed. Here at Mount Sinai, the people finally reach their destination. They're at the foot of Sinai. And what does God tell them? "Get the people ready. Sanctify the people. Have them wash their clothes. Have them even abstain from carnal relationships. Be ready on the third day." Ironic, the third day. "I, the Lord, will come down." Wow. And then we read, "And the Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up." So God tells them, on the third day, get the people ready, get them all sanctified, get them in place, for I am going to come down. And then we're told, in that verse 20 of Exodus 19, the Lord did come down. And he touched the top of that mountain. And that mountain was a smoke with a fire engulfing itself with lightning and thunder, and the ground rumbled and the ground shook and people were afraid. Exodus 34:5, "The Lord descended in the cloud and stood there with him as he called upon the name of the Lord." The Lord descended in a cloud, beloved, and stood there with him, with Moses, as he called upon the name of the Lord. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. Are you listening, beloved? Are you focusing your ears in the biblical discipline of hearing and listening to God's word? What did God tell them? "Hear now my words." And so these are words now that I'm reading right out of Holy Scripture, beloved, that is to grab our undivided attention and get into our mind. God Almighty, the Creator, the Judge, the Sovereign, the Governor, the Great I Am, this Good Shepherd that manifested Himself as the Word became flesh and dwelt and tabernacled amongst us. When God did descend, the earth could do nothing but shake. And beloved, many in the modern day church do not shake. We do not tremble anymore when the scriptures are read. Why? We have fashioned and created a God according to our own wicked imagination. We want a God that looks like us. We want a God that tolerates our sins, doesn't show any displeasure in our rebellion, but is a kind, doting old grandfather rocking in a chair up in heaven, stroking his long white beard. That is the God that many people in America desire. Those who fill multiple churches today, at this hour, in this time zone, want a God that is fashioned according to their desires. Here's another verse. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. He bowed the heavens also and came down with thick darkness under his feet. Get that concept. When you did awesome things, this is from the Psalms, when you did things, awesome things, which we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. The mountains quaked at your presence when you, the Almighty, came down and touched the mountains. Here's another Psalm. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, that they may smoke. Come down, Lord, touch the mountains and make them smoke. From the book of Isaiah, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. Here's this concept constantly repeating in the scriptures, beloved. Who has ascended into heaven and descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name or his son's name? Surely you know this one who has come down. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That's New Testament. I led them with cords of a man, with bounds of love, and I became to them as one who lifts the yoke from their jaws, and I bent down and fed them. I bent down. God bending down to feed me? Micah, for behold, the Lord is coming forth from his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. You get the concept? This concept rings throughout the entire scriptures. This idea of heaven coming down, God descending. Immediately coming up out of the water. This is Mark. In Jesus' baptism, immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending or coming down upon him. John 1:32, John testifies saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. Notice, God the Father comes down. Jesus Christ comes down and manifests himself as the God-man through the womb of a virgin. And what do you find with the third blessed member of the Godhead? He is also being portrayed as coming down. John 1:33, I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, he upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. Now, did you get that verse in John 1:33? John the Baptist says, I did not recognize him, but he who sent me, God the Father, to baptize in water said to me, upon whom you see, upon whom the Son, you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. In John 1:33, you got the Trinity. You got God the Father sending and appointing John the Baptist to be the one to be the herald, to be the one to point out, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away, that sponges away, that erases away the sin of the world. John the Baptist is the one who's going to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came down from heaven to earth. And what was the sign? The Spirit descending. The Spirit descending. And then even in jest, even in jeering, these words came to Jesus while he hung on the cross. He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe in him. They never did believe in him. If they truly believed that he was their Messiah, why would they murder him? They didn't believe him. And even if he did come down from the cross, they would re-nail him as soon as he hit the ground. They had murder in their blood. They had murder in their eyes, my dear friends. Let this Christ, the King of the Jews, now come down from his cross so that we may see and believe. Those who were crucified with him were also insulting him. And then in Matthew chapter 8, verse 1, when Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. Luke chapter 6, verse 17, Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, and there was a large crowd of his disciples and a great throng of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. Jesus coming down from the mountain and beholding the multitudes who were like sheep without a shepherd. Are you listening? Are you listening? What did God tell here? Hear now my words. In this particular installment, we're doing a whole different discipline. We're forcing each other to listen. To listen to the words of the Almighty. John 6, Jesus, this is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. Did you catch that? Jesus speaking to the multitudes, the same one a day earlier, he had fed probably up to 15,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And now they're coming. All of the little boats, they want a second helping of Jesus' bread and fish. And in John chapter 6, beloved, he gives them doctrine after doctrine after doctrine to the point that they could do no other thing but walk away from him because his words nauseated them. His words offended them. His words got under their skin. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. He's the manna. He is the heavenly manna. He is the spiritual manna so that one may eat of him and not die. And this is not talking about the concept of the Lord's Supper and eating a piece of bread and somehow that's going to save you. The concept here in John 6, my words are spirit and they are life, he told the audience. Jesus was not talking about eating something physical to be saved. He was talking about believing in him, falling upon him, trusting in him, literally digesting him, beloved, in your heart and mind. To feed upon him, to feed upon his words, to feed upon his person, to feed upon his finished work. Listen to this. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I give for the life of the world is my flesh. Are we listening here this morning? Are we truly paying attention to God's word? Not only is there a famine of God's word in America, in many churches, if there be any word from the pulpit, most people's minds are fixated on lunch or on the ball game at 2 o'clock. It's not fixated on God, and it's not fixated on his word. This is the true bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, he who eats this bread will live forever. How many times in John 6 does Jesus tell them repeatedly, I'm the bread that has come down from heaven? Not the bread that you ate, that your ancestors ate in the days of the wilderness wanderings under the leadership of Moses. That simply sustained them for another day. I am talking about me, the bread of life. If you eat of me, if you consume me, if you digest me, if you meditate upon me, if you abide in my word and you keep my word, you will live forever. Ephesians. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. Notice, he who descended, the one who came down from heaven, is also the one who's now or has ascended to the heavenlies. Another verse where they jeered him. You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Are you listening? I simply typed the words coming down on a particular Bible app, and this is what you get. They said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? That's John 6 again. Oh, we know who you are. We know who your earthly father was, Joseph. We also know the rumors about your mother, the fact that she comes back from Elizabeth, her cousin, 3 months pregnant, and Joseph is not the father. We know this suspicious origin of yours. How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? John 3 and 13, no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Are we listening? What did God tell this brother and sister duo? Hear now my words. Different message, ain't it, this morning? Simply hearing. Your participation is to pay undivided attention to God in his word. My responsibility is to read it clearly with distinction, as well as to hear. For the bread of God is he which comes down out of heaven and gives his life to the world. Another passage in John 6. For I have come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. Another passage in John 6. How many times in John 6 does God tell the audience over and over, I came down from heaven? And yet we have men behind pulpits today who tell us Jesus never once identified himself as God. Jesus never once claimed divinity. Well, beloved, all they got to do is read John chapter 6, maybe several times, and their eyes may be enlightened. Therefore the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. Another passage from John chapter 6. Maybe that's your homework. Go home and underline all the portions in John chapter 6 where the Lord Jesus Christ himself repeatedly tells his audience, I came down from heaven. So, beloved, who is this one that came down from heaven? Listen carefully as we close out this installment. It pleased God in his eternal purpose to choose and ordain the Lord Jesus, his only begotten Son, according to the covenant made between them both, to be the mediator between God and man, the prophet, priest, and king, head and savior of his church, the heir of all things and judge of the world, unto whom he did from all eternity give a people to be his seed, to be by him in time redeemed, called, justified, sanctified, glorified. That is the one who came down. The Son of God, the second person in the Holy Trinity, being very and eternal God, the brightness of the Father's glory, of one substance and equal with him who made the world, who upholded and governed all things he had made, when the fullness of time was come, take upon him man's nature, with all the essential properties and common infirmities thereof, yet without sin, being conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, the Holy Spirit coming down upon her, and the power of the Most High overshadowing her, and so was made of a woman of the tribe of Judah, of the seed of Abraham and David, according to the Scriptures, so that two whole, perfect, and distinct natures were inseparably joined together in one person, without conversion, without composition, without confusion, which every person is very God and very man, yet one Christ, the only mediator between God and man. That's who came down. That is the one who came down. And in many instances, as I read in our hearing here this morning, just in John chapter 6, how many times Jesus told them, I, God Almighty, came down from heaven to address one key issue, your sin, your depravity, your rebellion, your warfare against heaven. But he who eats of me, who consumes my flesh and drinks of my blood, shall live. Beloved, this is the one I am trying to introduce in your hearing. This is the one who was born in Bethlehem stable. This is the one who was baptized by John in the River Jordan, and the Spirit of God descended, and then God the Father said, behold, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Did you get the message this morning? Heaven came down. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Born of the Spirit, with life from above in God's family divine, justified fully through Calvary's love. Oh, what a standing is mine. And the transaction so quickly was made, when as a sinner I came, took of the offer of grace, he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Now I have a hope that will surely endure after the passing of time. I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day, when at the cross I believed, riches eternal and blessings supernal, from his precious hand I received. Heaven came down, and glory filled our souls. When at the cross the Savior made us whole, our sins were washed away, our night was turned to day, Why? Heaven came down. The bread of life came down. The good shepherd came down. Our high priest came down. The head of the church came down. The great physician came down. Living water came down. And therefore only, can glory fill your soul. Amen.